Our assigned epistle lesson reading for this Sunday comes from the Gospel of Matthew, reading from the 11th chapter. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Who was Emma Lazarus, and what is she famous for? Well, you've probably seen the bulletin cover. It's a really big hint. Yes, Emma Lazarus was the poet who penned the famous words that are inscribed on the base of the pedestal of the Statue of Liberty. Many of us remember these words from childhood school days. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. But that's only a portion of the entire poem, which I will share in a moment. And first, I'd like to share a bit of interesting background on the poet herself. Emma Lazarus was born in New York City in 1849 into a prosperous, cultured Jewish family of Portuguese Jewish ancestry. Emma began writing poems as a teenager, and after her first collections of poems was published, she caught the attention of and became friends with folks like Ralph Waldo Emerson. That's impressive company. And the turning point in Lazarus's life was the outbreak of violent anti-Semitism in Russia and Germany in the early 1880s. And from that point on, she began a private crusade for her people and became an advocate for Jewish immigrants fleeing to this country. And she organized relief efforts for thousands and thousands of immigrants who were mostly impoverished at the time of their arrival to the United States. And for many of these newcomers, their first glimpse of America was the Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor. The statue, sculpted by Frederick Auguste Bartholdi, had been conceived as a gift of friendship from the people of France, marking our two nations' commitment to liberty. And the initial plan was that it would be erected and dedicated in 1876, in time for the 100th anniversary of the birth of this nation. But due to several factors, however, that didn't happen until 10 years later, until 1886. France provided the money, of course, for the statue, and then there was a fundraising drive here in the United States that netted the required funds to build the pedestal. And Emma Lazarus believed that the statue, even before it was erected, would act as a beacon to the world. So in response, she wrote a poem in 1883 for the purpose of auctioning off in order to raise money for the building of the pedestal. And this inspiring poem entitled The New Colossus captured what the statue came to mean to millions who migrated to the United States seeking freedom, and to those who continue to arrive to this very day. But first, for reference, by the way, Colossus. Do you know what that's in reference to? It refers to a statue erected in 280 BCE in the ancient city of Rhodes on the Greek island of the same name. As one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, it stood somewhat similar in size to the Statue of Liberty. And it was destroyed during the earthquake of 226 BCE and never rebuilt. The New Colossus by Emma Lazarus. Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with conquering limbs astride from land to land, here at our sea-washed sunset gates shall stand a mighty woman with a torch, whose flame is the imprisoned lightning, and her name, Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame. Keep, ancient lands, your storied pomp, cries she with silent lips. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. The wretched refuge of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Likened to that ancient Greek statue which represented Helios, the god of light, Lady Liberty became a beacon of light. Yet Lazarus's poem also sets itself apart from Helios in that the mother of exiles, as she describes the Statue of Liberty, is more about being welcoming than conquering. She welcomes castaways, misfits, the impoverished, and the homeless who dream of freedom and a better life. She invites refugees seeking relief from oppression and danger at home. You know, I think it's very important that we remind ourselves of these things on this 4th of July weekend, especially the part about being more welcoming than conquering. Reaching out to the weary with open hands and welcoming hearts is an important element to remember as we celebrate our independence and freedoms as a country, for it has been an identifying hallmark of our country's heritage. And this is especially true this year, in light of the Supreme Court's recent approval of what is generally perceived as a faith-based travel ban from 6 predominantly Muslim countries, including a hold on all refugees entering this country for the next 4 months while our government reviews its extreme vetting program. And yes, I am fully aware of the need to balance our historically welcoming nature as a country with any legitimate security concerns, for we do indeed live in a dangerous world. And from a political standpoint, I'll let you come to your own conclusions. Nicely handled, don't you think? It seems to many, however, that we are currently experiencing a dimming of our being such a beacon of light. But we have seen this at other points in our nation's history. Speaking personally, I hope it does not lead to an even greater sense of nationalistic superiority, the demonization of those who are Muslim, and a retreat into isolationism and tribalism. But saying that, we do have a responsibility to approach our attitude toward all these things and these issues through our filter as people of faith, and specifically as Christians. There is a way of being proud of our country, for instance, without flaunting a "we're privileged and superior because God likes us better and has blessed us more than you" mentality that is prevalent in the almost inbred nationalism that is promoted by far too many Christian groups themselves. Perhaps then it's a good time to ask ourselves at this point in our country's history if we still really believe in those words inscribed at the base of the Statue of Liberty as part of our country's mission statement, so to speak. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. You know, it hasn't gone unnoticed just how similar those words of Emma Lazarus are to those of Jesus as found in Matthew 11. Jesus offers the crowd what has become to be called the great invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Notice at least at one level how similar that message is. Most of the people who have immigrated to this country have suffered under the burden of some kind of oppression or another in their homeland. And that most likely includes a good number of your and my ancestors,
who immigrated to this country. That is, unless you are Native American, who have been here for thousands of years before the European invasion. But in Jesus' day, the Jews suffered under oppression as well. But in the context of this particular biblical passage, Jesus was not referring to the oppression imposed by the Roman Empire, the governmental and political authorities. Instead, Jesus was pointing directly to the burden put on the people by the religious authorities, the scribes and Pharisees. The scribes and Pharisees had laid an intolerable load of religious laws, their interpretation of religious laws, on their shoulders. Therefore, the rest that Jesus refers to in this passage isn't specifically addressed to those burdened and made weary by life itself, by their jobs, their careers, their finances, their relationships, or even those burdened by their own vices and addictions. By the way, I will be addressing this perspective using this same passage next Sunday. It's not that God doesn't care or help in those situations, in these situations, because God does. It's just that the rest that Jesus offers in this instance is for those who have become weary and burdened by trying to earn God's favor and blessing by attempting to be perfect in fulfilling of the religious laws. And how difficult it still is for many of us today to realize that there is nothing that we can do to earn God's favor. We have already have it. We always have and we always will. This, in part, is the message that Jesus came to teach us. And from a progressive perspective, we'd add that this applies not only to those who are part of the Christian faith, but is extended to people of all faith traditions or of no faith tradition. God's grace is offered to all, period. Now, rabbis in Jesus' day often referred to the law of God metaphorically, and this is the important connection, as a yoke and a burden. They promoted meticulous attention to following the law of God and supplied detailed explanations of how it could and should be kept. And keeping the law perfectly, we know as they did, was and is an impossible burden. If the Pharisees insisted on rigid adherence to the law in order for people to win the favor and blessing of God, and that to me sounds a bit like the original version of the prosperity gospel today. I agree. But that's where Jesus' teaching comes into play. Jesus promises rest for those, including you and me, who are burdened by trying to earn God's favor by strictly following religious laws and set rules of behaviors. But as we explored last Sunday, however, this does not give us a license to do anything we please without boundaries. Instead, our new freedom in Christ comes with a deep responsibility to a new and transformed life. A life in which we live as followers, as disciples of the ways and teachings of Jesus. And another way to phrase all this is that God's grace is always lighter and easier to bear than religious legalism. Some of us know that by the way we were raised. Jesus spoke to people then and now who were desperately trying to connect to God and desperately trying to be good, but who were finding that task impossible and therefore were driven to weariness and despair. And if you find yourself in this same position, then remember these words of Jesus, words of grace. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. And may it cause all of us to reflect anew on this 4th of July weekend upon how we will continue to respond to those words penned by Emma Lazarus 134 years ago. Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. And perhaps it can still act as a mission statement that we should take to heart both as a country and as a congregation.